Keith Hunter, who is going to be talking about what some people call Planet X and also 2012 and some of his latest videos that he's been releasing. And I did link that on the website for those of you who have gone to projecthemlock.org, the front page. And I just want to remind everyone that we do have a chat room where you can log in and ask questions during the show. So please do go to the front page of projecthemlock.org and go to the chat room, and then you can type questions as we go, and we will see them there. I will also ask them to turn on the call-in line so that people can call in as well. So if you'd like to do that, that can be done. But we'll do that a little later. So in the meantime, Keith, how are you?
Yeah, not too bad. Not too bad, Kerry. It's good to be here.
Okay, well, very good. Yeah, it's absolutely great to talk to you again. It's been a while. And I believe, see, you were on one of my live streams, I think it was with Richard Hoagland last year, and I've also interviewed you on my radio show, so people should be able to find on the Project Camelot Library some previous interviews with you. On live stream as well. There's a live stream with you on it. So, and I think we had a one-on-one live stream as well. So that's two live streams and maybe an interview on my radio show. So at this moment, we're kind of moving down along the timeline here, and we're now in 2012. And I know that you revamped your Nibiru video, and then I did take it off my site. We had it up there for quite some time on the YouTube channel, and then you've released relatively recently another video, and it's quite fascinating. I've been watching it, actually trying to go through it more than once. Quite a bit of information there. It's quite fascinating. So why don't you give something of your background for people? I hesitate to do so because it's, you know, what's really interesting about you is that you don't have such a formal training that relates to the research that you do and the information you've come up with, but you're quite brilliant, and your conclusions are fascinating, and people who have seen and heard you before will be very excited to hear what you're doing now and where your mind's going. But first, give yourself an introduction for those who don't know you.
Basically, I think I started out roughly about 15 years ago into what you might call esoteric research and the kinds of things which are non-mainstream but alternative. I was looking mainly at the ancient texts and coming at it from a religious perspective, looking at, say, the Gnostic tradition as opposed to mainstream Christianity. And I also then took a look at some of the work in physics areas and the UFOs and again, the whole alternative scene in that area. And one of the things that really intrigued me was the whole issue of what is generally called sacred geometry and also astrology. And it's this idea about the planets and their configurations in the heavens, and can they influence events on Earth? And the mythological stories of the ancients, whether or not there is a high physics underlying them. And I was particularly interested initially in the work of a man called Bruce Cathy. And he looked at measurement systems, particularly the ancient Sumerians and Babylonians, and the base 60 system based upon 360 degrees. And this gets into some of the mythological traditions about the Earth once having exactly 360 days per year. But when I was looking at his work, what I found very intriguing about it was he was trying to essentially look at how some of these ancient systems of measure were being rediscovered and actively employed in practical ways by modern military forces today by various countries, and that some of the secrets, if you will, to these ancient systems of measure and numerological systems were tied into advanced physics, triggering nuclear weapons and artificial earthquakes, and even related to where secret military bases were established globally upon the Earth. And he was even looking, Bruce Cathy, at some of the aerial formations in his own country, New Zealand, and he found that certain aerial patterns that were established there by the military forces were on harmonic intervals or spacings, which seemed to be tied into degrees, minutes and seconds of arc and so forth. And so it was really looking more intensely at that kind of angle, looking at what is, I say, sacred geometry or numerology, but trying to find a physical basis to it. I was looking for proof of principle, if you will, to show that it's not an abstraction of just numbers on paper, but there really is something to these systems. And I made quite a lot of advancements, and these are the things that are in my book, The Lost Age of High Knowledge. So I went on to advance a lot on Bruce Cathy's work, and I evaluated many nuclear weapons tests in history, many of the most prominent ones like Trinity, Hiroshima, Bravo, King, Hurricane, Grapple Y, many of these. And I found that there, if you model things correctly, you can demonstrate musical ratios of arc lengths over the surface of the Earth, which are based upon these ancient systems of measure. And this modeling does seem to indicate that nuclear explosions can only be generated when the Earth is in a correct orientation with respect to the other major bodies of the solar system, primarily the Sun or even the Moon, and that natural earthquakes are themselves triggered with high precision based upon the configurations of the planets in their orientation to the Earth. And it all seemed to fit, and the mathematics of it is very elegant. And it also reveals that what we generally refer to as imperial measures of feet, inches, fathoms, etc., these unit distances as a harmonic set of nested cycles, they're not arbitrary. There is a right answer to what is a universal system of measures which connect up physical events. But then it goes one further even than this, because if you start looking at ancient systems of measure in this way, you'll then start to be aware of the fact that many ancient cultures had advanced calendar systems, and they were tracking the bodies of the heavens and their frequencies and so forth and their orbits. And they were tying in these calendar systems and their looking at conjunction cycles between the Earth and other bodies, especially Venus and Mars. And they were looking at these conjunction cycles and thought that they themselves, when they achieved certain special patterns, could result in massive geophysical activity to the Earth and exotic effects within our solar system as a whole, including such as the flare-up of planets or strange effects to the Sun in terms of its light being changed to different colours or even going dark. And so you end up getting to looking at the basis of these secret systems of measure, how they appear to have been reconstructed to an extent in our age by modern military forces, but how they have very ancient origins and how they seem to be tied in even to these great ages or these traditions of end times when you get massive geophysical activity which wipes out periodically a lot of the people on the Earth and causes major Earth changes. And that was the area that I was essentially really going into, although initially it started out just looking at the origin of ancient measurement systems, especially the Babylonians and Sumerians.
Okay, well, that's a great introduction to yourself and your work and to where we might go this evening. Basically, why don't you start off with where you have come to in terms of the latest video that you put out there, why you put it out the way you did, and where your conclusions are leading you. If you want to follow the logic train, that's absolutely fine. And then as you talk, if there's some clarification that needs to happen or something that seems unclear, then I will interrupt you if you don't mind.
Yeah, sure. Well, the latest video is entitled like Planet X, the Destroyer, and 2012, and basically it looks at all these three things. I've already put a couple of videos out. One was looking at Zechariah Sitchin's theory of Nibiru, and also I looked at another video which linked into the Mayan and the Aztec calendar systems, because they themselves are tied in to these cycles of destruction. And there's even a tie-in towards an exotic body coming into our solar system. But if I'll just at least say this regarding the Nibiru thing itself, I do not believe that Zechariah Sitchin's Nibiru exists, if you will. His essential theory that came out from his book The 12th Planet in 1976, he thought that Nibiru would essentially be a large body, like a gas giant. It had been a 3,600-year orbit in a highly eccentric orbit, which had initially led it to come into our solar system and crash into another body, roughly between Mars and Jupiter, and that this created the asteroid belt. Now, one of the first videos I put out regarding Nibiru was to suggest that this mechanism called the Music of the Spheres to the Ancients is what truly is responsible for creating the asteroid belt. There are, and again, I'd cite the work here of Ovenden and Van Flanden. They are physicists of the modern age, and they looked at multiple exploded bodies within our solar system. The brute collision that Sitchin came up with, right, from this object that he thought came from deep outside the solar system, he thought they would come in and smash into a large mass body already existent between Mars and Jupiter. Now, there is, if you look at some of the work by the physicist Ovenden, he did some calculations in the 70s and looked at the asteroid belt itself and the debris field, etc., and he came up with a view that there had to have been a large mass body existent between Mars and Jupiter, roughly Saturn-sized. So Sitchin may well have been looking at that when he came out with his theory that he designated this body Tiamat, right? But if we look at some of the theories regarding collisions, you might remember a while ago there was Shoemaker-Levy 9 crashed into Jupiter. But before it could, it broke up into about 9 pieces or whatever. And this is something that physicists look at, that if you have an object approaching another, there's some kind of limit, some physical threshold that causes them to break up as they approach. I can't tell you that I know all the technicalities of that, but other people have looked into that. And it's one of the things that stands against Sitchin's theory, that the asteroid belt was created by one object smashing bluntly into another.
Okay, but let me just interrupt you there, because what you've just done is also say that if they break up before impact, it really doesn't matter if they break up before or after impact. The result is the same. You have pieces out there.
You do, yeah. But if you look at the work of Van Flanden, who's another physicist and astronomer, he even later than Ovenden, he looked at the asteroid belt between Mars and Jupiter, and he looked in particular at the composition of the asteroid belt, and he also looked at the path of various comets around this vicinity, and he was able to like statistically go backwards, and he found that there would have to have been multiple bodies that exploded, and he was tying this into cycles of destruction. There was one 3.2 million years ago, one 65 million, and another 250 million years ago. And again, you know, we were in that conference, like Joseph Farrell was there. In some of his work, he even explains this point himself quite well in his book, The Cosmic War. And he again cites that the idea of a brute collision is not the best fit. And he himself goes along the line that there's some sort of hyperspatial physics involved which ultimately leads to the destruction of the bodies. Now, where I'm coming from in this respect is, I think that the mythologies, I have a different interpretation to Sitchin regarding the mythologies. And I look not so much to the Sumerian Babylonian mythologies, but more to the Greek mythologies. And they, to me, seem to indicate that conjunction patterns established set up a powerful resonant situation, and that that resulted in the destruction of the multiple bodies. Van Flandens thought there was either two or three bodies between Mars and Jupiter. But later on than that, we can even talk about the Kuiper Belt, which is an outer asteroid belt as well. So I think that what is responsible is essentially this mechanism of special planetary conjunctions being established. And this is what a lot of the ancient myths seem to talk about. And I think Sitchin just, maybe in the 70s, it was an idea which seemed to fit at that time, you know, a brute collision. But I think that there are more advanced theories. But the other thing is, if we accept that planets could explode within our solar system due to resonance effects, the manner of which they might explode can actually give us a possible answer as to what type of exotic body we are looking for in our solar system. I mean, the whole issue, because a lot of people, when they look at the subject of Planet X in particular, they've looked to essentially try to extend Sitchin's theory, because Sitchin thought that this object, Nibiru, as a planet in a 3,600-year orbit around the sun, highly eccentric, he thought it was inhabited by the Anunnaki, a race of extraterrestrials. Now, because it goes so far away from the sun, you know, some people were thinking, well, how can this planet...
Okay, well, hold on one second. We're going to have a break and we'll come right back. Thank you so much.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
Now you and your family and friends can enjoy the cleanest, most delicious, and healthy drinking water anytime, even while traveling, camping, at sporting events, or in emergency situations. The Berkeleyite removes bacteria, cysts, parasites, and harmful chemicals to below detectable levels. It also reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury, while leaving in the beneficial and nutritional minerals your body needs. Berkeleyite is so powerful, it can even purify raw, untreated water from remote lakes and streams. And the optional PF2 filters even remove fluoride. The Berkeleyite LED, with its rechargeable lighting system, can be used as a nightlight or a camp light. To view or purchase your Berkey water system and replacement filters, please visit American Freedom Radio's website at AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click the Berkey banner. Once again, that's AmericanFreedomRadio.com, and click the Berkey Water banner. Not yet available in Iowa.
Do you realize every day we are being put under constant stress from wireless radiation? What's worse is that you don't even know that it's happening. It puts as much stress on our body as if we had a constant viral infection, draining our energy and sapping our strength, or just making us irritable and fatigued. These wireless fields are being emitted from computers, microwaves, mobile phones, power lines, and any electrical appliance. Now there is a solution. A group of research engineers in New Zealand have come up with an active shielding device that shields you from wireless radiation at a cellular level. Blue Shield comes in three models: a household, portable, and USB that plugs into any computer. The great thing about Blue Shield is it is very affordable and guaranteed to last. A one-off purchase will see you being protected for years to come. Visit AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click on the Blue Shield banner. Blue Shield, brought to you by the VinnieEastwoodShow.com.
Could it all be a bad dream or a nightmare? Based on preposterous notions and on ideas whose time should never have come, preventive war is used as a road to peace. Tolerance delivered by government guns. An empire replacing the republic. Slavery sold as liberty. Socialism to save capitalism. a government out of control, unrestrained by the Constitution, the rule of law, or morality. Money does not grow on trees, nor does prosperity come from a government printing press or escalating deficit. A central bank that deliberately destroys the value of the currency in secrecy, without restraint, cheered on by the pseudo-capitalists of Wall Street, the military-industrial complex. The good news is the reversal is achievable through peaceful and intellectual means, and fortunately, the number of those who care are growing exponentially.
Years of economic earthquakes have shaken our confidence in stocks, real estate, currencies, even nations. Gold has become a safe haven, a universally respected investment that preserves and grows wealth in today's debt-addicted world. According to Swiss America, the key to surviving economic earthquakes is maintaining and growing your standard of living. Rising government spending and taxes almost ensure higher gold prices for years to come. The good news? You can protect your family and future, even if the euro crashes and a tidal wave of inflation devalues our dollar. Your first step to safety is to read Swiss America's latest white paper, Remaking Money. It's free when you call today, 800-289-2646, 800-BUYCOIN, or go to SwissAmerica.com, or download the new Swiss America app at iTunes. That's 800-289-2646, 800-289-2646, 800-BUYCOIN. Call Swiss America, the gold standard.
Online, all the time, your gateway to the world.
AFR.
American Freedom Radio.
Give it to them.
Your frequency is ascending with Strange Universe Radio, the most popular internet program in the galaxy, weeknight 7 to 9 p.m. Pacific time with your host, Sean David Morton.
Camelot Whistleblower Radio, and we are live with Keith Hunter. He is talking about, what some would call Planet X, or some kind of incoming body in our solar system. He has a rather unique approach to all of this. And so, Keith, can you continue where you broke off, if you remember exactly where you were?
I was just basically saying that in more recent times, there's people who have looked at Sitchin's theories and they've tried to advance upon them. And I think they've done it by looking at a certain problem in physics called, it's the theory of precession of the equinoxes. And this particular theory, there's two theories. One is that the Earth's orientation changes over time in a slow circle, like tracing out two cones, if you will. And this occurs over a 25,770-year cycle. And it's a change in the orientation of the Earth in terms of its axis. But the other theory is that our Sun is in orbit around another star, right? We've got a binary system, essentially. And the dynamics of that is what causes precession. Now, some people, when they were initially looking at the precession problem, we're looking at stars such as Sirius. That was one contender, and there is a group out there called the Sirius Research Group. And Sirius is about 8.7 light years away, which is about 550,000 astronomical units, which is the mean distance between the Earth and the Sun. And so that was one contender. But other people think that it might not be Sirius. It could be another star that we have not yet detected. And this is where people initially then thought, well, maybe it's a star of an exotic type, a brown dwarf star, which is so low in temperature, cannot be seen. And the first one that was actually detected was in 1995. And then when we got this binary system theory, it is as if people transplanted elements of that theory, which was there to try to be an alternative explanation for precession rather than the orthodox theory. It's as if they then took that and transposed it into Sitchin's theory and thought that maybe there is a planet which is in orbit around its own star, which is a brown dwarf star, which is one that orbits around the sun, but very close. Because if they're talking about a 3,600-year orbit, right, this brown dwarf star would have to have some kind of orbital period or some kind of distance from the sun of just several hundred astronomical units. But as I said, the Sirius theory is 550,000 astronomical units. So they're putting this object, a significant-sized object, and a brown dwarf star, they're usually given as a multiple of Jupiter's mass, which is itself very massive. And the problem you've got there straight away is that if you think that there's a brown dwarf star that periodically makes deep entries into the solar system, well, the dynamics of that being a high multiple of Jupiter, it would pretty much wreck the orbits of the planets within the solar system already on its first pass if it came in. It could cause them to essentially fly out into space to the planets. It could so
okay,
radically...
Well, let me actually ask you about that, because what about if it comes in perpendicular to the planets? In other words, it isn't actually... I mean, I'm not an astronomer, but my understanding of how the brown dwarf enters the solar system is more sort of at a diagonal, such that it doesn't perturb the other, necessarily perturb the other planets in that same way that you're talking.
You're exactly right, Kerry. And now we're just going to come on to that point. You're right. Because when we start to look at the plausible scenarios and what kind of orbital characteristics we have, you are correct. If you look at Sitchin's diagram, the one that I think a lot of people will be familiar with, it almost gives the impression, because you're looking down, that the orbital plane of this highly eccentric orbit is the same, or roughly the same, as all the other planets. Now, there's a very narrow band. All the planets in our solar system, they're not perfectly on the same planes, but they're only very slightly different, except for Pluto, which is kind of radically different. But that aside, what we would be looking at is an object which would have its inclination tilted a very significant degree, maybe 30 or 40 degrees or so, if we're looking at something plausible. Some of the debris field of the Kuiper Belt objects, which is the outer asteroid belt, have those kinds of inclinations, right? But even at that inclination, a brown dwarf star, if it went deep into the inner solar system, it would essentially could go, say, underneath the planets and then cut through the orbital planes of them at a certain point and then come up over them. It's still the mass of it, right? And the gravitational effect of it would still be so significant. I don't see how you could, have such a plausible object. But the other thing was this, and this is some of the work of some of the astronomers out there who have done studies regarding what kind of mass values would be plausible. And if you looked at the orbits of Pluto and Neptune, there were some researchers, I'm trying to think, I think one was Killen, possibly, I can't remember the names, but what they essentially found, they did detailed models of Neptune and Pluto, and they found that they had been very stable for, several million years or so, and that they found that they could have an object of no greater than five Earth masses come close to the solar system without wiping out the stability of Neptune and Pluto. So they were looking at objects of that kind of size. Now, Van Flandern himself, who was also looking at the Planet X theories, he came out with theories regarding its potential mass, and he was talking about three to four Earth masses. Right, these are the kinds of figures they were talking about. And just to give you a comparison, one Earth mass obviously is the mass of the Earth. So they're talking about potential orbital bodies that could come in with a kind of a five Earth mass limit. Anything above that, and you're talking about an object which, if it came in, would essentially so radically alter the solar system that it would be unrecognizable. The stability of the orbits would collapse. So they were looking at that kind of limit. Now, if you look at the gas giants, Jupiter is about 318 Earth masses, right? Now, brown dwarf stars, they're like a multiple even of Jupiter. There can be several Jupiter masses, right, in terms of their classification.
But,
so,
but let me ask you this in terms of the brown dwarf masses. Mm-hmm. In other words, or even a Jupiter-type mass, is there, you know, in terms of perturbing the orbit of a planet that's made out of something different like that, it's not quite so solid a body. Is it possible that it can pass through our solar system without quite the same effect as what you're talking about?
I could only say, based upon the kinds of mass values we're talking about, that it's so implausible, because what I'm essentially leading up to here is some of the ancient texts which talk about the periodic entry of such a body coming into our solar system. So it would have to have developed over time some sort of stable interaction with our solar system. It would perturb the orbits and it would damage them, but it would not wreck them. And
right.
The idea of a brown dwarf star with those kinds of the mass values, multiple of Jupiter, is so implausible it would wreck the orbit. And there is a far better theory, a far better solution to it. And I do this actually comes as following on from the potential causes for the explosions of the bodies within the solar system. Going by Van Flanden's work about the multiple exploded bodies hypothesis, if we look at astrophysicists today, they're all basically aware of supernova, right? They would say, yes, stars can explode very far away from the Earth. But there's a certain type of star explosion, a supernova, where you have a core collapse, right? And this results... And the general picture is the star runs out of fuel, right? It's a lot more complicated, but it runs out of its internal fuel to sustain itself. And what happens is it collapses inwards. The core itself would collapse rapidly inwards, and then the outer layers follow it in. But the outer layers have a titanic bounce back due to a massive outburst of neutrinos, which is emitted due to the core collapsing. And so it blows out the outer layers, and this has given you the supernova. But the core itself, provided it's not beyond a certain threshold of mass, right? Because if it was a very high mass, it can become a black hole. But provided it's not over a certain limit, the core itself can survive. And this is what becomes a neutron star. But not only that, the cores themselves also spin off, because the implosion of the core is asymmetric, so the neutron star will fly off from the general debris field. Now, if we consider that the planets between Mars and Jupiter, or the Kuiper Belt, in their unexploded form, if they became unstable and they suffered a core collapse type event, right, then we could have at one time, in one instance, an explanation for the asteroid belts, the debris field formed by the explosion, which coalesces into the various rings. But if we were to come up with a theory, how could we have an exotic body established in an orbit within our solar system, orbiting in a highly eccentric orbit around the sun? The surviving core of one of these exploded bodies, for me, is the best fit, because the core would be only a fraction mass of the whole body itself. And if we look at some of the mass values of Ovenden and some of the NASA values as well for the Kuiper Belt, and some of the data we've got on gas giants and full mass values for planets towards their core ratios, it turns out that, for example, Ovenden was a scientist who did a calculation and found that a large mass body, roughly Saturn-sized, which is about 92 Earth masses, would have existed between Mars and Jupiter, right? And if this is one of the bodies that exploded, right, we can then look at the core value of it. There's some recent studies that we have from Jupiter which suggest that the ratio between the total mass of Jupiter and the core is about 20 to 1. And similar values seem to exist. This is what scientists have found for such as Neptune, roughly a 20-to-1 ratio. So if you were to look at the Saturn size orbit, 92 Earth masses, well, roughly 20, a 20th of that is just under this 5 Earth mass limit. And when you look at the debris field of the Kuiper Belt, some of the NASA people have looked at it and thought, well, originally that would have been roughly between 50 and 100 Earth masses. 1/20th of that, again, puts you around about 2 Earth masses. If we were looking at some of these, and again, these are quite tentative values, you know, I have to admit that, but they seem to fit, that if we had one of these objects explode, the core remnant mass fits just underneath this threshold that the scientists are looking at for what could be a stable body close to our solar system. And I think that if we were looking at some sort of exotic body, and I think that that's what we should be looking at, the idea of a standard planet, even like a gas giant, I think is not really the best fit. Some of the esoteric texts, they essentially talk about what would be an exotic comet. And they're not talking about a body which would sustain life, but some sort of flaring up body, something that goes through different colour changes and so forth. And so the idea that we could have essentially like a miniature neutron star, if you will, but as I say, the mass values that I'm talking about here would be for a core remnant which would be underneath this 5 Earth mass threshold. It could be significantly less than that. These are quite tentative values, but
okay.
Plausible. Yeah.
Thank you, but let me just throw this out for you. We have whistleblower testimony basically saying that there is a brown, that we are part of a binary star system, that is known by scientists, and this is again from whistleblowers and black projects. It seems to be validated through multiple whistleblowers that there is indeed a binary system that we're part of, and that is where the brown dwarf sort of becomes logical. Now, if you're talking about this neutron-like body, I'm not sure it qualifies as a binary star.
Well, if I might say, Kerry, I totally believe in the idea that we are in a binary system, but for me, that solves the precessional problem, and that the binary star would be several light years away, and I would say Sirius is as good a contender as any. So I agree with that, and this is why I was trying to say that we're looking at a star which would be several hundred thousand astronomical units away. But if we were to talk about an object which was not so much a binary companion to our sun, almost like an equal partner, if we're talking about an object which is orbiting our sun, then we'd be looking at an object which is only a couple of hundred astronomical units away.
Okay.
And I don't
Okay, we're going to a commercial, but you're talking about another body. I understand. Okay, we'll be right back.
Are you suffering from issues related to angina pain, high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, unbalanced cholesterol, irregular heartbeats, clogged arteries? If so, you are not alone. Millions of people are suffering from one or more of these problems. If you'd like to live your life free of sickness, pain, and fear, live your life with increased vitality, energy, and youthfulness, and experience your body healing itself, then this might be the most important message you'll ever hear. An effective 100% organic nutritional supplement is now available. Heart and Body Extract is an exclusive formula of wild-crafted and organic herbs. It is extremely effective and starts to work within days. Get your Heart and Body Extract today by visiting heartandbody.com or by calling 866-295-5305, 866-295-5305, or heartandbody.com.
The First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring freedom of speech and preserves the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know that we are tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to LibertyStickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's LibertyStickers.com or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
Well, we know what they want. They want more for themselves and less for everybody else. But I'll tell you what they don't want. They don't want a population of citizens capable of critical thinking. They don't want well-informed, well-educated people capable of critical thinking. They're not interested in that. That doesn't help them. That's against their interest. That's right. They don't want people who are smart enough to sit around the kitchen table to figure out how badly they're getting f***ed by a system that threw them overboard 30 f***ing years ago. They don't want that. You know what they want? They want obedient workers. Obedient workers. People who are just smart enough to run the machines and do the paperwork and just dumb enough to passively accept all these increasingly jobs with the lower pay, the longer hours, the reduced benefits, the end of overtime, and the vanishing pension that disappears the minute you go to collect it. And now they're coming for your Social Security money. They want your f***ing retirement money. They want it back so they can give it to their criminal friends on Wall Street. And you know something? They'll get it. They'll get it all.
SwissAmerica.com reports gold prices jumped toward $1,800 an ounce Tuesday on safe haven buying. Gold last traded at $1,783. Silver jumped up to $3,693. An expected injection of cheap money from the European Central Bank boosted gold today, according to Reuters. Silver rallied 4% after it breached a key technical resistance at $35.70. According to Kitco, gold and silver price action for the first 2 months says that it's going to be a record-setting year for gold. They encourage you to make your purchases now. And behind the mainstream Wall Street happy talk about a stable financial market recovery is grim warnings coming from Harry Dent, author of The Great Crash, Gerald Solente of Trends Research Institute, and Robert Prechter, author of Conquer the Crash. Read more about it at SwissAmerica.com. Call us toll free at 800-289-2646, 800-289-2646 for your copy of Vote Gold 2012. Vote Gold 2012.
Warning. Warning. American. Warning. American Freedom Radio is habit forming. American Freedom Radio is habit forming. Use the truth carefully.
Turn on, tune in, and drop out with me, John Zaskoda, on Stranger Advice. Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 1 p.m. to 3 p.m. on American Freedom Radio. Radio.
You raise up your head and you ask, is this where it is? Then somebody points to you and says, it's his. And you say, what's mine? And somebody else says, well, what is? And you say, oh my God, am I here all alone? But something is happening and you don't know what it is.
And we're talking to Keith Hunter. Keith, are you still there?
Yes.
Okay, great. And so we were just sort of at the place where we were talking about the idea that you agree there's a binary, there's likely to be a binary star system that we're involved in, but you're also talking about the fact that there is another body in our solar system. And by this, I assume that what you're saying is that because of, well, for example, that there's a lot of indications that something is out there. Is that right?
It's like I was saying just before the break. I do believe we are in a binary system, but that, for me, explains the precessional motion. And so we would be looking at a star on the order of several light years away, and that would be a true companion star, the equal of our sun, so to speak. But when we're talking about an object which is within our solar system, by that I mean it orbits around our sun, essentially. And even Sitchin's initial theory is for a planet which is in an eccentric orbit around our sun, right? This kind of orbit, even at several thousand years orbital period, it would only be several hundred years mean distance from our sun, whereas a true binary companion, right, responsible for precession, would be several hundred thousand astronomical units away, right, not several hundred. And so I think that the two issues that really need to be separated, and I think this is one of the things that's happened with some of the work. People have attempted to take elements from the alternative precession theory, right, which involves a binary companion, and somehow transplant that into our solar system to try to adapt Sitchin's theory to say that this planet that the Anunnaki live on is in orbit around its own star, which itself is in orbit around our sun. And I think that that theory, for me, I do not believe that even that adaptation is correct at all. For me, when I look at the ancient texts and I look at what they're describing, they appear to be describing some sort of significant-sized body, but to me it would be on the order of a small planet or a moon, that kind of size, underneath this 5-Earth mass limit, right, that the astronomers have determined would be, you know, if it were higher than that, it would not be stable in terms of its interaction with our solar system. So if it's had multiple passes, it would be significantly underneath that. It would not be a large body like any of the gas giants. So I would be looking at something which is a very exotic body. And I think, I say neutron star because I believe that it is a core collapse type event, and that this was the character of the destruction of either the large body between Mars and Jupiter or the Kuiper Belt. Either one of these possibly could have produced a core remnant which survived, which then got established in a highly eccentric orbit, highly inclined. And I think that this is, for me, the most plausible explanation as to how we can get an explanation for some of these ancient texts in terms of the qualities of this body in its passing, and also one that fits in a plausible way with the physics we have for something that's not of such a high mass value that it's just not realistic. Do you know what I mean?
Yes, and I understand what you're saying with that. I'm going to tell you flat out that I think you're wrong, but I know I don't know the physics behind it. I only know some of the sort of whistleblower testimony and other information that has come at me from various different places, that I don't believe you're describing that particular body. I do believe we have a body in the solar system. I'm even told that it could be as close as somewhere near Mercury at this time. It seems to be obscured for some reason. I'm not sure why that is. And I do think it's perturbing the planets. What's going to be the result of that, I don't know. And I don't know what it is. So, I mean, it doesn't mean that other people would find you wrong or anything. I'm just saying that based on my background information, it doesn't seem to correlate with what I've heard.
Are your whistleblowers, Kerry, telling you that this object might be, I'm just thinking how to put this, not quite within the bounds of our light realm, but somehow beyond a critical threshold? Would they be suggesting that?
Well, I don't know. I haven't quite talked to them in that, you know, about it in that way. Probably didn't know enough to ask it the question that way. I just know that at least one whistleblower has alluded to the idea that it is somehow obscured. Now, I know, of course, that there is a blackout on any information. Are you familiar with, I believe his name was Robert Harrington?
Yes. He came up with an orbital, his orbit for Planet X was, I think, roughly 1,018 years. The perihelion point, closest approach to the sun, I think, was 60 astronomical units. So that would still be outside Pluto even. It was an eccentricity of 0.411. And he gave it as an inclination of about 32 degrees. So his orbit, it was significant. And he was going about these mass values, I think, again, somewhere just under 5 Earth masses. So he was looking at it in that way. I think
The thing is that he was killed. There's very strong evidence that he was basically done away with because he had some very distinct information. And of course, we've been over and interviewed Lucas Scantamblerlo regarding the whole Planet X release by the journalist Barbato and so on. So. And the whole secret service of the Vatican that tried to put the lid on all of that. I mean, there is some precedent here for a cover-up. But I do think that your information is very interesting, and I think that there could be some elements of truth in there that pertain to what's going on. And I also think it's fascinating that you go back into the old ancient texts.
Well, if I might give a little linkage here, because remember I was talking about the Mayan and the Aztec calendar systems and how they were tied into cycles of destruction. Well, you might have heard of the Aztec century, and it's a value of 104 years, and this is a calendar year of 365 days. And the Aztecs and the Maya, they used this cycle to accurately track successive bulk batches of Earth-Venus conjunctions, because 65 such conjunctions fit in well with a 5.2-day correction. The reason why I mention this 104-year cycle is because in another ancient work called the Colbrin, right, there is a reference towards what is referred to as the Destroyer. Now, the Destroyer is, you know, quote, Planet X. That was the term used in ancient Egypt to describe this body as a fiery body, an unstable body, reddish in colour. And they go into great detail in the Colbin, describing the effects of the body coming in. And in this particular work, the Colbin, in this particular scroll, it's called the Great Scroll, there's a reference to a man called Habaray. And he teaches some people in a place called Crowcasis. He teaches them all about astronomy. And he teaches them about a 52-year cycle and a 104-year cycle. And this is the exact number of years in the Aztec calendar. And he actually says that this 104-year cycle is, quote, the circle of the Destroyer. Now, this to me ties in the object in a harmonic sense, because I'd kind of be expecting that there'd be some sort of harmonious fit in terms of the orbital period of this Destroyer in a large sense, right, and some of the other planets within our solar system, and that's how we'd get a kind of a stability in its interaction. That's very complicated to explain. So I don't really want to...
Okay, well, that makes sense, but let me ask you this. Isn't it possible that when they talked about the Destroyer, they were talking about a different body? In other words, we have plenty of comets, and some of those comets do what's called return. So they are on sort of what seems to be something of an orbit. And so one of those bodies could be described there, and yet it doesn't necessarily mean they're talking about always the same body, because there's also the idea, what I thought, which was that every 26,000 years, I think it is, and every, I'm not sure if it's 11,000, but there are periods, in the ice core samples that show when there have been, you know, when we really do have monumental Earth changes on a periodic basis. But it's not every 100 years by any stretch. It's every, 26,000 years and this sort of thing. So where you could be talking about more than one body.
Well, no. When I said this 104 cycle, the circle of the Destroyer, I'm thinking that is like a subunit of a larger orbit. And I do think that the object would be on several thousand years. And there's even a textual reference, and I don't know whether you've ever heard of the work, The Chronicle of Akkakor, It speaks about the traditions.
No, but when we come back from the commercial, let's talk about that, all right?
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
Just give me some truth now.
What would your life be like if you woke up each morning with new vitality, feeling better than you have in years, and you noticed a difference in your sleeping patterns, blood sugar levels, and had a sense of well-being overall? There's something that is changing thousands of people's lives, and you could be one of them. It's called Heart and Body Extract. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, talks about the positive effects of Heart and Body Extract.
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes, and phytonutrients so the body will heal itself. And yes, the body does have the ability to balance blood pressure, balance cholesterol, clean and unclog the arteries. It can also work on balancing the circulation for diabetics. So the body is an amazing thing. It simply needs some help so it has the tools to heal itself.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. To order your 2-month supply, call now, toll free at 866-295-5305. Order online at hbextract.com.
Do you realize every day we are being put under constant stress from wireless radiation? What's worse is that you don't even know that it's happening. It puts as much stress on our body as if we had a constant viral infection, draining our energy and sapping our strength, or just making us irritable and fatigued. These wireless fields are being emitted from computers, microwaves, mobile phones, power lines, and any electrical appliance. Now there is a solution. A group of research engineers in New Zealand have come up with an active shielding device that shields you from wireless radiation at a cellular level. BlueShield comes in 3 models, a household, portable, and USB that plugs into any computer. The great thing about BlueShield is it is very affordable and guaranteed to last. A one-off purchase will see you being protected for years to come. Visit AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click on the BlueShield banner. BlueShield, brought to you by the VinnieEastwoodShow.com.
The year 2012 brings an ending and a new beginning to social, political, economic, and geological cycles for America and the world. The living prophecy that we are now voyaging through has many names ascribed to it. The Hopi say it's the closing of the fourth world of destruction, moving into the fifth world of peace. The Maya declare that we enter the fifth world age, the age of the center. All common themes in the array of prophecy that we are processing and purifying all the imbalances of the dying world age. We are transcending an era founded on duality, and we have turned away from the great spirit, resulting in greed, corruption, blind materialism, and disconnection from each other and Mother Earth. Collectively, we are poised at the brink of a world age rebirth in which we enter new domains of consciousness and manifestation, redeeming all the previous ages. Let's all join together to bring the vision of peace and love into reality, because we are the future, we are the heroes, and that we are who we have been waiting for.
This is Sean David Morton, the host of Strange Universe Radio, and I've achieved worldwide fame for my predictions about the stock market and the global economy. Years of economic earthquakes have shaken our confidence in stocks, real estate, currencies, even the stability of nations. Our country teeters on the brink of seeming economic wreck and ruin. Everybody asks me one question: what can I do? Gold's the one investment that preserves and grows real wealth in today's debt-addicted world. Rising government spending and taxes and inflation almost guarantee higher gold prices for years to come.
You can protect your family and your future, even if a tidal wave of inflation devalues our dollar.
Your first step to safety from the financial storm ahead is to read Swiss America's fantastic new white paper called Remaking Money. It's free when you call 800-289-2646. That's 800-BUY-COIN. Or go to SwissAmerica.com and download the new amazingly cool Swiss America app on iTunes. That's 800-289-BUY-COIN. Call Swiss America, the gold standard.
No rules, no rules, no taboo topics, no taboo topics, no fear of doom, no fear of doom. We are American Freedom Radio, American Freedom Radio.
Talking to Keith Hunter. So Keith, I'm just glancing at your video and I see the text of the Cobran that you've quoted on your video, and I think it's quite fascinating. It obviously is describing the kinds of monumental earth changes that would be attributed to something coming in a period of every 11,000 to or 26,000 years. So what I'm wondering is how reliable do you think the Cobran is, first of all?
Well, I admit it is one of these, it's what you call wisdom literature, and it pretty much stands on its own in terms of its authenticity. But if you do read it and you look at the books themselves, there are tie-ins to certain things within it and other ancient traditions. Even the calendar traditions of the Aztecs and the Maya, they are linked in to sections of the Cobran itself, like, for example, in the Great Scroll, when I mentioned that there was a man called Habere who taught some people about astronomy from the people of Crowcasis, and he taught them about these cycles of 52 years and then 104 years. These are the very cycles linked in to the Aztec calendar, which they used to perform ritual sacrifice on, because they believed that the Earth would end upon one of these intervals in terms of the... They would have a massive day of darkness, and the ground would shake, the massive earth shaking, a global earthquake, if you will. And you can also look at some of the descriptions given of the destroyer, which is the name in Egypt. You see, the Cobran's made up of about 21 books. I think it's 11 of these are British in their orientation. 8 of them are Egyptian. I think there's one of the Trojans, and in the Egyptian books of the Cobran, they refer to this exotic body as the destroyer. And there's lots of, you know, very intricate details about what it's like when it's passing across. I mean, for example, if I just read a few sentences here, it says, "It was a billowing cloud of smoke enwrapped in a ruddy glow, not distinguishable in joint or limb." And it talks about the destroyer itself. "Its colour was bright and fiery, in appearance changing and unstable. It twisted about itself like a coil, like water bubbling into a pool from an underground supply. It was not a great comet or a loosened star, being more like a fiery body of flame." And it says here, it swirled in a manner of smoke, and it remained close to the sun whose face it hid. There was a bloody redness about it which changed as it passed along its course. And again, it swept the earth with grey cinder rain and caused many plagues. And again, they talk about how there was essentially a copper hue over the land and a strange darkness. And that you couldn't tell night from day. It was not an ordinary darkness. And these are, again, I mentioned in the... In what was it now? The conference I was with Richard Ogle and Joseph Fowle last year. When we're talking about Nibiru and so forth. I mentioned Comet P17 Holmes as a comet of the modern age, which is known to engage in periodic flare-ups, if you will. And this is where the comet will essentially cast off its matter into space to a volume greater even than the size of the sun, right? And this is a small little comet. And this happened in 2007. And it also increases magnitude and brightness doing that. And
well, it also happened recently, actually.
Yes. In 2007, yeah, that's what
I mean more recent than that. I mean, like last year when they were watching. It wasn't. I don't know if it was Elenin. It may not have been the comet Holmes, but it was this other body
or maybe it was Ellen, and it, one of them cast off this huge, it was on several videos. It was a reddish, sort of much larger than the circumference of the planet, and so, I mean, of the comet. But what, what I'm trying to figure out here is whether or not, first of all, again, to get back to the Cobran, when you say it's an ancient book, does it have the same, I don't know, background as the Bible? Because even the Bible is questionable, you know. So well, I'm just curious, what is the background behind the Cobran, do you know?
Well, one of the things about the Cobran is some of the stories in there are very much linked in, and they're very close to what you have in Revelation. And I believe that it was actually salvaged from the fire at Glastonbury Abbey in the late 12th century AD. And some people thought that that was an arson attack to destroy it because it was heretical, because it was in conflict with the Bible. And if you look, for example, at Revelation, I mean, for me, Revelation in the Bible is one gigantic description, albeit in code and metaphor, for a series of astronomical events in the heavens which result in massive earth changes at the end of an age. And some of the things in the Cobran, for example, link into that. So in the Bible, they talk about a great red dragon, right? And how it encompasses the earth and cover, you know, a certain fraction of it is destroyed. And it also references a beast. And if you look in the Cobran, you've got the same stories, but it's very obvious in the Cobran that they're certainly not talking about earthly people, if you will. You know, it's not some kind of, if you've ever seen the film The Omen, it's not something like that. Basically, it is talking about celestial events, right? This dragon, the beast that follows the dragon, these are celestial events. And they're referring to, for me, planetary conjunctions, which have the power to trigger through resonance significant earth changes. And I mean, when you look at Revelation about this dragon, which is there to steal this child away, right, that's going to be born, and it's cast up to heaven. Well, in some of the Greek myths, children born, say, of the earth are, if you look at the transition from 360 days to 365 days, the children of Newt, the sky goddess, are these extra days. And if you look at the vision of John that opens up, he goes into the palace where there's this throne of God, and he's sat there, it's bright, and there are emeralds around and rainbow colours, and there's 24 elders sat around in the presence of God. That story right there is identical to the story in Greek mythology of Phaeton, when he goes to his father's palace, and his father is the sun god. When he goes into the palace of his father, he's sat there on his throne, robed in purple, and spaced right to his right and to his left are the hours and the seasons, all ranges at equal intervals. And this is a special day which occurs, wherein Phaeton takes control of his father's chariot of light for one day, and he loses control, and this is what destroys much of the solar system, or wrecks the planets, causes them to go unstable for a time. And this is why Phaeton needs to be destroyed by a thunderbolt of Zeus in the direction of the sun. This, again, there's a high physics behind this. And so some of the stories in Revelation, they can be more readily understood when you look at the Cobran, because they have a very down-to-earth explanation for them.
Okay.
I mean, in the Bible itself.
Okay, yeah. That's great. But I just want to interrupt to say that people can call in, and we do have a phone number here. It's also available on the American Freedom Radio station page. But I believe it's 218-339-8525. And we also have questions now, Keith, from the chat room. So I want to make sure, I just wanted to say that they are, questions are coming in. And so finish what you were saying. I mean, I do understand how the Cobran and the Bible, have a definite, it would appear, relationship. But let me just ask you this. is it what you're positing is that indeed that something is going to happen along these lines?
I do think that this is a natural mechanism of our solar system, and periodically, on the order of every several millennia, certain patterns are established with respect to known bodies within the solar system, conjunction patterns involving the Earth and other bodies which trigger massive geophysical destabilization of the bodies involved, such as the Earth's axis becoming disorientated, a pole shift, if you will, a radical change in the Earth's axis, and also exotic effects which trigger the cancellation of the light waves of the sun, which withdraw back into themselves. And if you look at even the Nag Hammadi texts, they talk about these end-of-age scenarios, and they say that the celestial powers cancel their circuits. And you can tie that into the dragon of the outer darkness. This great red dragon, in symbolism form, not just seems to reflect a potentially exotic body within our solar system on a long-range orbit, it's the same symbolism that is also tied in to describing the physics of resonance and the dragon of the outer darkness, which periodically enters our realm to shut off the sun temporarily. This is what the Aztecs and the Mayan calendar systems were all about. They thought that every 52 years they had to do this ritual sacrifice to try to prevent the world from ending. They weren't sure exactly which 52 years it would end on, but what they thought would happen is they took all the fires in all the land and extinguished them, and they conducted a ritual sacrifice at the precise moment when there was a conjunction of the Earth and the Pleiades at midnight on a certain day of the year. And they ripped out this guy's heart once they'd killed him, and they started a new fire in his chest cavity. And this was then distributed throughout all the land. Everybody lit their torches with this new fire. It all went dark, and they were all apprehensive, thinking that if this sacrifice wasn't good enough, the light would not switch on again. This is because at some point, and this was the basis of their calendar, at some point an event occurred in the past when the sun literally switched off temporarily its light. And this was associated also with massive earth shaking. The same resonant patterns which can capture the planets and cause them to go into heightened agitation with special conjunction cycles can also have this exotic effect of shutting down the sun. But one of these little points in the Bible, just to give you an indication, in the Bible, it's more metaphorical, because you get statements like the stars in heaven fell to earth and every mountain and island was moved from its place. In the Kolbin, it's a lot more realistic in the sense that it says when the destroyer passes, it says that in the evening the stars changed their positions. They rolled across the sky to new stations, and then the floodwaters came. So that's a lot more down-to-earth, if you will, in talking of a radical shift in the Earth's axial orientation. And scientists can model things like that and show you how you can have massive water, you know, flooding inland.
Well, yes, that would follow along the lines of a pole shift.
Yes.
Right? Now, I have somebody who is writing in that says, is it possible the object is behind the sun? It's consistent with a highly eccentric orbit, and it matches what my whistleblowers are saying. And also possibly that you said it hits the sun. Is that possible?
I don't think we're talking about something hitting the sun. I think that, for me, we're looking at an object that is in highly eccentric orbit. It would be on the order of several millennia, possibly around about 6,000 years. There's some textual hints that that might be the answer, and it would be highly inclined to the orbital plane, so it would go underneath the planets roughly and then cut through the main ecliptic plane,
right,
and then go up over them. But as I said, for me, we're looking at an object which is of a small planet stroke moon size, but which may engage in exotic effects, just like comets develop tails when they come near to the sun. I'm looking at an object which will, it could go, come very close to us. And because of the low mass value, and because it may be very small, being a core remnant, it will have been collapsed a lot. Even though I say it might be about two or three Earth masses, don't think that means that I think it's anywhere near the size of the Earth. it may be a lot smaller than that physically. There's a big difference between volume and mass.
Okay, so, we have a caller. Let me see if we can take their question. Do you mind?
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
Okay. So, caller, you're on the air, area code 602, with Keith Hunter and Kerry Cassidy.
Hi, Kerry. Hi, Keith. This is Robert calling in Phoenix. Keith, I have a question for you. Are you familiar with the fact that both Jupiter and Saturn have flipped their axis by 30 degrees?
I did have a few. This was a few months ago. There were some people, some astronomers that I was talking to, and this was in one of the, it was in a Pal Talk astronomy room, and some of these people, as I said, they had some very good telescopes, and one person did come in there, and he was putting photos in, and I think it was about Jupiter, not Saturn, and he was trying to imply that it had shifted significantly on its axis, and some of the other astronomers were taking their own photos, and they were thinking that, you know, this guy was basically trying to set them up. They were seeming to suggest that these things had not happened, that there's been no significant change. I mean, personally speaking, when it does come to radical axial changes for any of the planets, I do not believe that this is going to be some kind of brute force thing from another object going close by. I think it is resonant effects from conjunctions which will trigger this kind of thing. So I've heard some stories about axial rotations of some of these gas giants, but as I said, I've seen some other astronomers out there. They're taking their own photos, and it's one of these stories that you're either going to believe maybe some of the things floating on the internet, or you're going to tend to think it's a hoax. At the moment, I've not got anything that I could solidly believe in on that one.
Let me say here that you know, you actually wrote to me about this, Keith, and Alex Collier had said, I did get information that he was saying that this was happening, and that, you know, obviously that would be the information he's getting through his contacts on Andromeda. Now I don't know if there's any basis for this, and I don't have the details, but I believe Saturn was involved. Okay, we'll be right back. Thank you very much, caller, for your call.
Now you and your family and friends can enjoy the cleanest, most delicious, and healthy drinking water anytime, even while traveling, camping, at sporting events, or in emergency situations. The Berkeleyite removes bacteria, cysts, parasites, and harmful chemicals to below detectable levels. It also reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury, while leaving in the beneficial and nutritional minerals your body needs. Berkeleyite is so powerful, it can even purify raw, untreated water from remote lakes and streams. And the optional PF2 filters even remove fluoride. The Berkeleyite LED, with its rechargeable lighting system, can be used as a nightlight or a camp light. To view or purchase your Berkey water system and replacement filters, please visit American Freedom Radio's website at AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click the Berkey banner. Once again, that's AmericanFreedomRadio.com, and click the Berkey Water banner. Not yet available in Iowa.
The First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring freedom of speech and preserves the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know that we are tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to LibertyStickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's LibertyStickers.com, or call 877-873-8255. 9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
America is in trouble.
Washington is a disgrace.
Government has become too big. It's overtaxing, overspending.
We need to change direction.
We really need change.
We can't afford to make the same mistakes we've made in the past.
Mitt Romney's reputation as a flip-flopper.
He went the other way when he got paid to go the other way.
There is need for economic stimulus.
It's about serial hypocrisy.
This election is about trust.
There's been one true, consistent candidate, and that's Dr. Ron Paul.
Ron Paul has been so consistent from the very beginning.
He seems like a more honest candidate.
He tells the truth about what he believes, whether you like it or not.
He's never once voted for a tax increase, never once voted for an unbalanced budget.
Ron Paul's plan is bold, cut 5 departments. It's what we need.
When he says he's going to cut $1 trillion in the first year, I believe it.
If you don't like how things are going, you're tired of politicians, he's something different.
Ron Paul.
Ron Paul.
Ron Paul.
Ron Paul.
Is the one we've been looking for.
I'm Ron Paul, and I approve this message.
Years of economic earthquakes have shaken our confidence in stocks, real estate, currencies, even nations. Gold has become a safe haven, a universally respected investment that preserves and grows wealth in today's debt-addicted world. According to Swiss America, the key to surviving economic earthquakes is maintaining and growing your standard of living. Rising government spending and taxes almost ensure higher gold prices for years to come. The good news? You can protect your family and future, even if the euro crashes and a tidal wave of inflation devalues our dollar. Your first step to safety is to read Swiss America's latest white paper, Remaking Money. It's free when you call today, 800-289-2646, 800-BUYCOIN, or go to SwissAmerica.com, or download the new Swiss America app at iTunes. That's 800-289-2646, 800-289-2646, 800-BUYCOIN. Call Swiss America, the gold standard.
Yo, what's up? Check this out.
The voice of the revolution. American Freedom Radio. American Freedom Radio.
Listen to Time for Hemp, hosted by Casper Leach. Afternoons, Monday through Friday, 12 p.m. to 1 p.m. Central. Only on American Freedom Radio.
Talking to Keith Hunter. Keith, let's see. So I'm also noticing this Chronicles of Angkor.
Yeah.
Right? And yeah. Is this channeled material? What is that?
The Chronicle of Angkor is a book that was written by a man called Karl Brugger. And he was a German journalist, and he basically, it was in the 1970s, I think it came out in 1976, he went to visit and came across certain South American tribes, and it was a chieftain, a man called Tatunka Nara, who he spoke to regarding some of their traditions, and he was the chieftain of, I believe the tribe was called the Uga Mongulala. People, and he told Brugger their story, if you will, and of their civilization that went back many, many thousands of years, and some of the information in there is quite incredible, and he wrote up this in a book that he called the Chronicle of Angkor, right, and this particular book. It described all of these stories that went back roughly 12,000 years or so. And it spoke about extraterrestrials as well. and that came to visit the Earth from a far-off place. And that they left the Earth, they abandoned the place, right? And they left various underground cities and various structures on the Earth, and they departed from the Earth in 10,481 BC, because they knew that 13 years later there will be a massive catastrophe. And this is actually given, he quotes it as being 10,468 BC, according to the, quote, calendar of the white barbarians. That's us. And this is what he actually, you know.
Okay, and was there? Was there? Does that coincide? That does coincide with the.
Well,
with the
you'll have been familiar with.
The 11,000. It was approximately, I think, in 11,000.
Yeah, right? If you're familiar with the Case's work, he actually said 10,500, seeming, you know, to round it up. But there's this very precise date in the Chronicle of Akkakor, given as 10,468 BC. And the reason why I thought that was very intriguing was because if you take that and then you add to it 2012 for the AD-BC date, you get 12,480. And it's also referenced in this Chronicle of Akkakor that everything returns in a circle lasting 6,000 years. And this is when you have these cycles of destruction. And so if you take this value between 2012 and the date of their disaster and you half it, you get 6,240. Now, what was so intriguing about that as a number of years is that, remember that circle of the destroyer for 104 years? If you do a division sum of that in, you know, 6,240 into that, you get exactly 60. And it's such a harmonious fit. And linking into 2012 as a calendar date, it really made me think there might be some kind of linkage there. Do you know what I mean?
I see. Okay. Well, you know, the math, I'm afraid, doesn't really make a whole lot of logical sense to me, but I'm sure it makes... I'll take your word for it on that.
It's in my video, okay, the one, it is explained, yes, a lot better. I realise in radio it's a bit difficult to put across, but I really do explain it quite carefully in that video.
Okay.
The connection.
Okay, well, okay, let me ask you a few more questions that are coming in the chat, and then we can see if they have questions pertaining to what you've just said as well. Someone is asking, what is the universe ratio 1 to 137 about?
Oh, wait a minute. Is that the Rydberg constant? I'm only vaguely saying that. That's over my head, that. I couldn't answer that one.
Okay. Do you think that, let's see, is there any significance to 2012? So are you thinking, is it because of this investigation that you're doing that you're basically beginning to think that there could be something happening at a certain point in later in the year, for example?
Well, I would say there are certain dates that are very intriguing that I do wonder about in a calendar connection way. The Venus transit on June the 6th is quite intriguing. The Mayan long count comes to an end on the 21st of December 2012. The patterns of the celestial bodies from the 18th of December to the 21st seem to mirror, quite intriguingly, those that we had in 1859, which led to the massive solar flare activity. I think there's a again, it's very speculative. I have to admit that it is very speculative. I believe Patrick Gerald, who we've interviewed, he seemed like dead certain that something catastrophic's going to happen on that day. And I don't know where he gets that level of confidence from.
Yeah,
this.
No way.
But, there are some intriguing patterns there. And also, remember the 52-year cycle? The current 52-year cycle we are in ends itself on the 1st of April 2013. And there's a correction measure tied into that, and it's a calendar one, which backdates us to the June 6th transit of this year. So there's a few intriguing dates, and again, it's speculative to suggest anything specific will happen on them, but from a calendar point of view, there are certain links to those dates which, when you tie together certain threads, they make them very intriguing. And they're definitely dates that, you know, my research points to us as dates which, I you know, I don't want to say anything specific is going to happen there because I have no direct cause and effect evidence. Because all I'm doing is researching calendar traditions and some of the celestial cycles linked into the myths. And
right,
to get the physics of it is a different matter.
There was one thing that Patrick Gerald did talk about, which was the labyrinth in Egypt, it was said that there was information that if they would reveal it, written, I don't know, I think perhaps in the walls of the labyrinth, left by the sort of Atlantean Egyptians, basically that sort of warned humanity of what events happened and that there would be a recurrence. Now, it is complex because I also understand from what I've heard that the destruction of Atlantis wasn't just because of natural events, that indeed it was a war. And that there was a comet that was used as a destructive fireball thrown at the Earth, and that is what actually caused the continent of Atlantis to sink. Now this is the information I've gotten. I believe it's from Ashiana Dean's material, but I can't say for sure because I can't remember exactly where I've gotten it. But I believe that's where it comes from. So I don't know if you're thinking about the destruction of Atlantis, but I think that if one looks at all of this material, because we are also, there are so many parallels between this time and the time before the destruction of Atlantis, in my mind, that if you're going to be looking at this kind of thing, you need to be looking at. Do you look at Atlantis at all?
Well, as far as that, yes. Have you ever read a book called A Dweller on Two Planets? That's, again, it's channel material, but from the 19th century. And the story behind that one, it was dictated to, if you will, a child who was about 13 from, if you will, somebody that recently died who lived there through multiple lives. I don't know whether you've come across that one, but...
I think I've heard of it, but I'm writing it down.
Yeah, I'll have to pass you the details. It's one of the most inspirational books I've ever read, and it talks about high civilization, and it talks about some of the powers that the godlike powers that are in us all, and how there were entire societies which the common man had a measure of control over these powers. But going back to a point you just mentioned earlier as well. In the Chronicle of Akkakor, there is indeed reference to the extraterrestrials which arrived upon the Earth and, civilized man, if you will. But it was also said in that work that they had a rival civilization, and that these were a rival set of extraterrestrials with their own empire, and there was a mighty war between the two. And that there are references towards this being a part of the destruction. And this is why... It does all seem to be related. On the one hand, we've got conjunction effects, which seem to point towards disasters. On the other hand, there is a potential war. And I believe that's what Joseph Farrell in particular looks in his book, The Cosmic War. He's looking at a battle, if you will, and looking at actual destructive effects which blew up various planets through actual weapons, not natural as such. So I think we're both looking maybe at the same kinds of things, but maybe I'm more, I should say, tending towards the natural conjunction cycles myself.
I see
you can take advantage in an artificial way of conjunction cycles.
Well, exactly. That's exactly what happened with the Japanese earthquake, according to my evidence. And so it's not that contradicts the information because basically you even documented in one of our prior discussions how they pinpointed when exactly to target that Japanese quake to make it become a 9 when it could have just been a 5. Because of its placement with regard to the sun and the so on and so forth, right?
Well, it is like what I said with nuclear weapons. They themselves, you are stimulating forces. You have to wait for the sun or the moon to be in the correct position, and you trigger the nuclear weapon. at the right time. So you're having a little bit of an input in terms of you've got the shaped charges which implode the core. And
right.
That action creates an energetic signature which essentially coincides with the buildup of powerful forces due to the configurations of the planets at the point on the Earth. So you are stimulating something. And this is why the idea that you can have events where a natural conjunction, if you will, may occur, which might have a natural level of power. But if you use energetic weapons to influence that, you could trigger massive destruction to a higher level and even destroy bodies. So that possibly could tie in to what the Chronicle of Akako is saying occurred.
Well, exactly.
12,000 years ago.
Well, that's fascinating, and I think that, you know, that's something that maybe people that are listening, because this Chronicle of Akako has not been discussed, you're the first one to mention it, and I think it's quite fascinating that it does, sort of pick up all these threads and talk about them, and that it did come from, a tribe in South America. That is all very sort of interesting, and there's some synchronicities happening. I believe that, again, the agenda of the dark forces and the Illuminati, whoever you want to call them, are going to, as far as the, what they're hoping to have, what they call Armageddon, they actually want to create it. It's a matter of utilizing the potential forces that are already out there. And they're already doing this with weather wars. So they take the power of the universe and the potentiality that occurs, and they steer it, basically. It's like steering a ship.
I say, the man... You know, the Chronicle of Akako was written, as I said, by a man called Karl Brueger. And it was in 1976, I think, it came out. And it's interesting to note, because I think it was 1982. He was in Rio de Janeiro, and he was walking with a friend, just down the waterfront. And somebody came out and shot him dead. They never found out who did it. There was no motive.
Exactly.
And then that's how he died. And I don't know how close he came to that, but that was just such an odd thing, just to get shot dead like that. No motive,
right.
They never found who did it.
Okay, well, that's fascinating. Okay, now I'm going to see what other questions we have here, because someone is asking 0 point relating to the planetary lineup with the Milky Way. Do you think that I guess they're wondering if there's a 0 point correlation?
I think they might be talking about this galactic alignment thing.
Yes.
But personally speaking, there is an essay on my website, ancientworldmysteries.com, and I do discuss in detail the precise pattern as it's linked into the Mayan long count. And my own view of it is that there's no energetic significance to this galactic alignment. And also, I do not believe that there is a tie-in between the long count calendar and that pattern. I think that's a false association. I think the long count calendar is all about tracking planetary conjunctions with certain special correction measures built in.
Okay, we'll be right back with Keith Hunter in this fascinating discussion. Thank you.
Are you suffering from issues related to angina pain, high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, unbalanced cholesterol, irregular heartbeats, clogged arteries? If so, you are not alone. Millions of people are suffering from one or more of these problems. If you'd like to live your life free of sickness, pain, and fear, live your life with increased vitality, energy, and youthfulness, and experience your body healing itself, then this might be the most important message you'll ever hear. An effective 100% organic nutritional supplement is now available. Heart and Body Extract is an exclusive formula of wild-crafted and organic herbs. It is extremely effective and starts to work within days. Get your Heart and Body extract today by visiting heartandbody.com or by calling 866-295-5305, 866-295-5305, or heartandbody.com.
Do you realize every day we are being put under constant stress from wireless radiation? What's worse is that you don't even know that it's happening. It puts as much stress on our body as if we had a constant viral infection, draining our energy and sapping our strength, or just making us irritable and fatigued. These wireless fields are being emitted from computers, microwaves, mobile phones, power lines, and any electrical appliance. Now there is a solution. A group of research engineers in New Zealand have come up with an active shielding device that shields you from wireless radiation at a cellular level. BlueShield comes in three models, a household, portable, and USB that plugs into any computer. The great thing about BlueShield is it is very affordable and guaranteed to last. A one-off purchase will see you being protected for years to come. Visit AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click on the BlueShield banner. BlueShield, brought to you by the VinnieEastwoodShow.com.
But there's a reason. There's a reason. There's a reason for this. There's a reason education sucks, and it's the same reason that it will never, ever, ever be fixed. It's never going to get any better. Don't look for it. Be happy with what you got. Because the owners of this country don't want that. I'm talking about the real owners now. The real owners, the big wealthy business interests that control things and make all the important decisions. Forget the politicians. The politicians are put there to give you the idea that you have freedom of choice. You don't. You have no choice. You have owners. They own you. They own everything. They own all the important land. They own and control the corporations. They've long since bought and paid for the Senate, the Congress, the state houses, the city halls. They got the judges in their back pockets. And they own all the big media companies, so they control just about all of the news and information you get to hear. They spend billions of dollars every year lobbying to get what they want.
SwissAmerica.com reports gold prices jumped toward $1,800 an ounce Tuesday on safe haven buying. Gold last traded at $1,783. Silver jumped up to $3,693. An expected injection of cheap money from the European Central Bank boosted gold today, according to Reuters. Silver rallied 4% after it breached a key technical resistance at $35.70. According to Kitco, gold and silver price action for the first 2 months says that it's going to be a record-setting year for gold. They encourage you to make your purchases now. And behind the mainstream Wall Street happy talk about a stable financial market recovery is grim warnings coming from Harry Dent, author of The Great Crash, Gerald Solente of Trends Research Institute, and Robert Prechter, author of Conquer the Crash. Read more about it at SwissAmerica.com. Call us toll-free at 800-289-2646, 800-289-2646 for your copy of Vote Gold 2012. Vote Gold 2012.
You're listening to the future of talk. American Freedom Radio. This is American Freedom Radio.
Your frequency is ascending with Strange Universe Radio, the most popular internet program in the galaxy, weeknight 7 to 9 p.m. Pacific Time with your host, Sean David Morton.
Okay, this is Carrie Cassidy, Project Camelot, Whistleblower Radio, and we are talking to Keith Hunter. Absolutely fascinating, I have to say. Now, we do have a person on the line calling in, so I do want to give them a chance to ask their question. We have several other questions as well. We've got very short time here. I'm sorry for that. So let me take the question for the caller. Area code 856, you're on the line with Keith Hunter and Carrie Cassidy, and I'm going to let you ask one question, then I'm going to take the rest of the questions in the chat simply because we have very limited time. Please go ahead, Jarrett.
Thank you. I was wondering, you said you found a correlation with Revelation. Did you find anything about a mark in your right hand or your forehead to buy or sell, like the mark of the beast?
Regarding that one, that's I'm not entirely certain about that. I know that, obviously, lithium chips, and I heard that the optimum temperature for maintaining them is in your forehead or your hand. That's something I read about a while ago. But you also get references in the Old Testament, I think it is. Is it in Daniel, possibly? About, is it Nebuchadnezzar? He orders everybody to worship this image of gold. And there's a parallel there between that and something in Revelation about worshipping the same image or whatever. Image of the beast. I'd have to really look at the references, but this seems to me to suggest we're looking at something very universal here. Maybe not necessarily something as simple as putting, you know, chips in your body. I do think that the powers that be, if they could get chips in your body, they would have, you know, real control over people, and they would put stuff in there that they could beam signals to you and kill you. I know that's very far out. That's just my opinion. I think the technology is there. There's some very intriguing stuff being written about implantable chips. And I think they're a lot more advanced than people might think they are. But
my understanding is you don't even need a chip anymore. Jared, thank you for your question. Is that okay, did that answer it?
Yeah, thank you. Take care. Good night.
Okay, take care. Bye-bye. Let's see. We have. I'm just going to race through over here and see if there's any. It says there's something about the current planetary alignment similar to 3-2011. Do you feel that we're going to have a significant Earth change? How does the music of the spheres factor into this?
3-2011.
That's what it says. March 2011.
March.
A similar planetary alignment.
I'm off the top of my head. I don't know what that alignment is. The only connection to the Mayan long count, I would say, is the pattern that we get from the 18th of December to the 21st in 2012 does seem to, you know, have a lot of similarities to the 1859 event. So if something exotic was to happen to the sun around about that time, that possibly could be a link. The conjunction transit of Venus. There is a time to the 52-year cycle of the Aztecs with that one. And also in the 1st of April 2013 is when that current 52-year cycle ends. These are intriguing dates. You know, the celestial conjunctions there are intriguing, but ultimately very speculative.
Okay, thank you. I'm sorry, I'm going to... There's a question in the chat asking about Mekizaldek and Dromvalo and the grids. That you need to go to a prior interview with Keith. There's a lot of discussion about that. Yes, he has all kinds of. It does relate to Bruce Cathy's work, et cetera, et cetera. So I'm answering that for you, just to get one more question in here before we have to close down. Astronomers observed Uranus having irregularities in its orbital path. Was this the gravitational pull of an unknown brown star, or was it Mars? And also, wasn't Mars perturbed in the summer of 2011?
I have to say, these sources, I don't know where they're coming from, and there's not much I can say to really validate them one way or the other.
Okay.
Do you know what I mean? There's not much I can really say about that one.
Okay, let's see. Do you think the pyramids are in place to protect the Earth in some way from these changes?
As far as the Great Pyramid, say in particular in Egypt, I do think these devices were built to harmonically interact with the Earth, and I've done other lectures about that, where the placement of the pyramid in terms of relative to the Earth itself does seem to tie in to suggest they're tapping into resonant forces of the Earth itself. Now, what I have thought about is that the Great Pyramid could be some sort of, effectively, an energetic terraforming device. And I have thought about whether or not it could be a device which could alter frequencies around the Earth for the better, if you will. I mean, people often cite HAARP as a device which is interacting with the electrojet and giving all these extremely low frequency waves, which is, you know, affecting people's health in bad sort of ways and whatever. And it strikes me that I have wondered if the function of the Great Pyramid is some sort of energetic device beneficial to the planet.
Yes, it is actually. I'm going to actually say because there's Samovich or something like that. I forget his name. I interviewed him, and believe it or not, haven't been able to edit the interview all this time. I haven't had time. But he does relate to that. There is significant evidence that pyramids around the planet, and of which there are many, do affect areas to sort of tone down any kind of earthquakes in the area, and also promote the growth of crops and sort of change the vibrations in the surrounding land. So there's significant evidence of the effect of pyramids, and in fact they're also working on that in St. Petersburg. Outside the city of St. Petersburg, they've built a number of pyramids, looking towards the 2012, as a matter of fact. And I don't think the Russians are even revealing everything they know about that. We are drawing to close here. Do you want to give your information out, Keith, and then any last parting statements?
My website is called ancientworldmysteries.com, and that's dashes between the words, ancient-world-mysteries.com. And there's a lot of good free essays on there, and my YouTube channel is called Light Descent, and that's all one word. You can find that through YouTube or find that through my website, and I contain on that channel some very good essays. There's some very good documentaries which further go into the Kolbin citations and the Chronicle of Akakor as well, and the research regarding the exotic body. I'm going to be doing a few more follow-up videos on the physics of what I discussed here with you, Kerry. So
okay.
I think that, you know, as an area, we are living in an intriguing time, and I think there is a sort of urgency among even the powers that be that in the next several years ahead, massive changes are going to occur. Maybe not necessarily all geophysical, but definitely economic. I think that's definitely on the cards.
Well, no doubt about that. Wait, I have a couple questions here. Is vortex mathematics real? Someone's asking. It seems logically yes, but go ahead.
I've never heard the term vortex mathematics, in all honesty, so I'm not
okay,
sure.
Okay, well, vortexes are certainly very real, and so, you know, the mathematics associated with vortex, I suppose that they may be significant in some way. I don't know what that is, but I think that's what they're alluding to.
If you're talking about hyperspatial transfer between bodies, then I would say yes. The celestial bodies of the heaven, you can have matter transfer between them in a highly targeted way. And that's responsible for natural earthquakes. It's also what the powers that be tap into to trigger nuclear explosions and also latch onto to transmit people, material, equipment to.
Teleportation and time travel is totally linked to that. Yeah. Toroidal, how do you say that? physics has to do with that.
Mm. So I do think that is what they have, and there are certain portal sites on the Earth, like Pine Gap, like Menwith Hill, or even the Dimona plant or Buckley Air Force Base. I do think that these are portal sites, and they have mirror portal sites on other celestial bodies, on the Moon, on like such as Mars or Venus, and that there is instantaneous transmission between them in a stable way.
Well, this would also be termed a stargate.
Oh, yeah, just like in the movie, literally.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, someone did ask about the, I don't know what they called, some kind of horizontal thing on, oh, God, Uranus. I'm looking through this question here. Oh, my God. Okay. Yeah, I can't find the question. Anyway, it was a very good question, I thought. So, I'm sorry, I'm not seeing.
Uranus,
you know what I'm talking about?
I think the only thing I can remember about Uranus is it roughly is tilted almost 90 degrees to its orbital plane. It's got about five rings around it or something. So maybe he's referring to the axial tilt being so extreme.
No, hexagon. It's a hexagon at the pole of Saturn. That's what they were asking.
Oh, I've only heard about that, but I'm not really sure about the research or how defined the shape even is, to tell you the truth. It's not something...
Okay, I think it's quite defined from what I remember. Okay, thank you so much, Keith Hunter. It's been a joy to have you here. We'll do this again.
No problem.
Again. All right, okay. Have a great night, everyone.
You too, Kelly.
Bye-bye.
What would your life be like if you woke up each morning with new vitality, feeling better than you have in years, and you noticed a difference in your sleeping patterns, blood sugar levels, and had a sense of well-being overall? There's something that is changing thousands of people's lives, and you could be one of them. It's called Heart and Body Extract. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, talks about the positive effects of Heart and Body Extract.
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes, and phytonutrients so the body will heal itself. And yes, the body does have the ability to balance blood pressure, balance cholesterol, clean and unclog the arteries. It can also work on balancing the circulation for diabetics. So the body is an amazing thing. It simply needs some help so it has the tools to heal itself.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. To order your two-month supply, call now, toll-free at 866-295-5305. Order online at hbextract.com.
The First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring freedom of speech and preserves the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know that we are tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to LibertyStickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's LibertyStickers.com or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
Just look at us. Everything is backwards. Everything is upside down. Doctors destroy health, lawyers destroy justice, universities destroy knowledge, governments destroy freedom, the major media destroys information, and religions destroy spirituality. I think there's more to know here.
Well, you ever hear about in this country is our differences. That's all the media and the politicians are ever talking about, the things that separate us, things that make us different from one another. That's the way the ruling class operates in any society. They try to divide the rest of the people. They keep the lower and the middle classes fighting with each other so that they, the rich, can run off with all the money. Fairly simple thing happens to work. If you know anything different, that's what they're going to talk about. Race, religion, ethnic and national background, jobs, income, education, social status, sexuality, anything they can do, keep us fighting with each other so that they can keep going to the bank.
This is Sean David Morton, the host of Strange Universe Radio, and I've achieved worldwide fame for my predictions about the stock market and the global economy. Years of economic earthquakes have shaken our confidence in stocks, real estate, currencies, even the stability of nations. Our country teeters on the brink of seeming economic wreck and ruin. Everybody asks me one question: what can I do? Gold's the one investment that preserves and grows real wealth in today's debt-addicted world. Rising government spending and taxes and inflation almost guarantee higher gold prices for years to come.
You can protect your family protect your future, even if a tidal wave of inflation devalues our dollar. Your first step to safety from the financial storm ahead is to read Swiss America's fantastic new white paper called Remaking Money. It's free when you call 800-289-2646. That's 800-BUY-COIN. Or go to SwissAmerica.com and download the new amazingly cool Swiss America app on iTunes. That's 800-289-BUY-COIN. Call Swiss America, the gold standard.
No rules, no rules, no taboo topics,
no taboo topics,
no fear of doom,
no fear of doom.
We are
American Freedom Radio,
American Freedom Radio.